Lighthouse Church presents the following message by Pastor Jason Holloman.
If you have your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. We're looking at the parable of the soil today. And one of the things that I wanted to make sure that we talked about as it relates to parables are really tricky. They're tricky because not any parable is like another. In fact, as soon as you think that one parable is like another parable, you will quickly find out that it's very different, whether it be in construction context, whether it be in length, whether it be an allegory, a metaphor, a simile. I mean, there are so many different ways to look at parables. And so one of the best ways to approach a parable is to approach a parable like it's an individual parable. That is to say that no parable is like another. So you can't say, well, this parable is like this, though there are similarities, there are just as many differences with each of them. And so if we take each parable on its face, then we will probably approach the parable with greater accuracy. Now, there are triptychs, there are doubles, meaning like for instance, when Pastor Kenny was able to talk about the field of treasure and the pearl, that is what we call a double construction, so it builds on itself. But generally speaking, each parable stands on its own, and it's easier to see it that way. Most parables are terse or short. They're succinct, except for the parable we have today. It's the longest of all of the parables. In fact, there's a number of things about the parable of the soils that's a little bit different than any other parable that is given to us in the New Testament. All parables are theocentric. Theos, God, centric, centered. And so they point to God. They point to Christ. It's intended to be that way. That's the whole point of them. They are concrete narratives. They're concrete stories. They're stories with simple things, with people that are describing really complex ideas. And so the point of a parable, and in fact the word parable, parabolo, to throw alongside of, balo, to throw, para, to sit alongside of, two Greek words, parabolo, to throw alongside of something simple, concrete, to try to describe something complex. And that is why Jesus spoke in parables. It is indirect communication. So there's a way where you can say something to somebody, or there's a way that you can teach a parable and intend to communicate through the back door, if you will. And so a lot of times I try to do that with my kids. Doesn't seem to work so well, but right, so I can say, hey, get your feet off the couch. Or I could start waxing and waning about the importance of furniture in a parable, right? Yep, see, it doesn't work at all. Yeah, there you go. Yep, so you are now into the story of my failure. Okay, great. Now, in this parable, one of the things that makes this parable unique is that Jesus himself gives us the interpretation of the parable. What an amazing thing. Like, you know, here we are reading the scriptures, and we're reading commentaries, and we're trying to look through church history, and we're looking to all these different places to try to have meaning and understanding of the scripture. And in this parable, Jesus himself says, yeah, I'll give you one on this. And he just gives us the meaning. It is amazing. Absolutely amazing. And friends, what a fun day again to gather. Unless Jesus tarries, we have an expectation to gather again next week, but listen, I want us to have this feel every time that we gather that this could be the last time that Lighthouse Church gathers together because Jesus could return this week. Like, this might be the last time we roll out this really cumbersome, unbelievably difficult to roll up black tarp. Because Jesus could return, amen? Yeah, that's right. Luke chapter 8. Beginning in verse 4, God's word says this. And when a great crowd was gathered, and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, a sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot. And the birds of the air devoured it, and some fell on a rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. As he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Now, before we get into what Jesus says about this parable, it's important to note that as a person, as the hearers would be hearing this, right? So if you look at Mark and if you look at Luke, Mark and Matthew, you'll see that he gets into a boat, gets out to the shore, and then is speaking this parable back to the land. And so you get this idea that there's a great crowd that's starting to gather. And so they would be hearing this story going, oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, trampled upon the path, get it? Most of the folks hearing this would absolutely understand what's going on. Most of them would absolutely understand principles of agrarian culture far more readily than we would. And so it's important that as we read this, the thing that would have just struck them so odd, not the first soil type, they would have been like, oh yeah, it makes sense. Yeah, the ground is so hard where everybody's walking to and fro, right? Rome is beginning to build these roads, and these roads are just hardened soil. It looks like concrete. Right? And so, of course, nothing's going to, it's like scatter seed for your yard in the middle of a concrete driveway. See how well it takes, right? It doesn't take. And so they would have obviously understood the first soil type. They would have understood the second. They would have understood the third. The fourth, however, they would have been like, what do you mean? What do you mean that it was able to yield 100-fold? They would have, in this parable, immediately said, got it. What? 100? And so already they can see that this is not simply a sower with seeds. This is something different than just a person who is sowing seed. This is, it goes from natural, 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 supernatural. And that's how their ears would have heard this parable. Verse 9, and when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, don't you love that? Don't you just love that we have the disciples and that we as disciples today are asking the question, what does this mean? That we have the opportunity for them to ask the same question. To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that in seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard, then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Verse 13, and the ones on the rock are those that when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But those have no root, and they believe for a little while, and in time of testing they fall away. And as for what fell upon the thorns, they were those who hear, but as they go on their way, they're choked out by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. Now, there's a number of facets that are happening here. The first is, it seems pretty clear from the context. It's extremely clear in Matthew's context, where he quotes Isaiah, that Jesus here is using parables to divide those that are hearing and who have ears to hear, and he's dividing those who do not have ears to hear. And that is a terrifying idea. That he is intentionally speaking in a way that says, do you understand? No? Okay. Now, before you start to get nervous, the disciples themselves, all of whom, apart from one, were believers, right? They're believers in Christ. They were those that endured to the end. They were those that many of whom were martyred for the faith. And so the disciples themselves are saying, hey, help us understand what it is that you're talking about here. Like, we get it, okay? We talk about this idea of good soil, but help us understand this parable. And here's the best news: that our context, life today, gives us the opportunity to be able to regularly and daily assess the state of the soil of our hearts. God himself is the one who is scattering the seed. The seed itself is the word of God. In fact, if you look and are starting to see, what is all of this for? Like, what are we doing all of this for? Like, why do we have lights, and why do we have guys showing up at 7 a.m. in the morning? Why do we have volunteers everywhere busy? Why do we have an entire crew of people who are watching children and teaching children? Like, why do we have so much of this going on? Like, what's the point of all of this? Is it to grow Lighthouse Church? No. No, the whole point of all of this is so that the kingdom of God would advance, and the tip of the spear of that advancement is the gospel. It is the good news that Jesus came to save sinners. Like, that is the tip of the spear. There's nothing you can do to earn it. And if you have ears to hear it, it's the best news you've ever heard in your life. For those of you that see yourself as needy and sinful and dirty and not in relationship with God, do you hear the good news that Jesus came to save sinners, that he literally is the bridge between a holy God and an unholy people? Best thing a person could hear. The craziest part about that is it's impossible to tell you how many folks that I've shared that with. It's like, hey, are you lost? It's like, no, I don't think so. It's like, well, how have you done with the Ten Commandments? Oh, no, terrible. I was like, oh, okay. Then what's your plan to be good with the big guy? What's your plan? It's like, ah, I think I'm good enough. Hey, you're never good enough. There's never the ability to be good enough. You know what? You've got the way you believe, and I got the way I believe. Soil of their heart hardened. How many times can people hear the gospel? You can't earn it. It's a free gift. Christ died for the ungodly, and it just be taken from the soil of a heart. Frankly, very often. Very, very often. One of my favorite stories is of children who have been raised in church. Children who have been raised in church and have gone to the Sunday school things or the life group things, and they've just listened and heard and been under preaching and Bible study and memorization, all of these different things, and to meet them out and about, and I'll say, hey, tell me where you are with Jesus. And they'll say, listen, man, I was raised. I was in church every Sunday. It's all I've ever known. Name anything about the Bible, I'll tell you about it. That's my favorite response, by the way. I can tell you everything you want to know about the Bible. That's my favorite response ever. And I was like, man, gosh, can we sit down for a long time? Because I have lots of questions, right? And then to see folks like that saved because the Lord just softened the soil of their heart. It's amazing. For us in our time, if you're sitting in church, listen, this church right now, Lighthouse Church, is like a bucking bronco, right? Like, if you're a part of this church right now, man, you're probably pretty bought in. You're probably pretty bought into the church, okay? So it's highly likely that the soil of the heart is, of those that are here, it's unlikely that it be the first soil. Though you could be dragged by your spouse. And if you find yourself there, man, I'd love to talk to you about it. I really would. In fact, don't out yourself. Don't even look at your spouse. Just come talk to me after. We'll keep it a secret for as long as we can, all right? But I'd love to talk about the soil of your heart, if that be you. No, frankly, most likely the soils of the heart that we need to consider for our time is the second and the third. The first soil is just distracted soil. The first soil is soil that is spiritually ignorant. It's distracted. It attempts to just get away from the things of God. Whatever it takes, right? In fact, this is the very thing why I do not like to tell people that I'm a pastor out of the gate fast, because I very quickly encounter soil number one with those that I'm hanging out with. You think I'm kidding? It is absolutely a blast. If you want to have a good time, go to a social function where nobody knows you and just tell them you're a pastor or in the full-time ministry. Even if it's not true, just do it. And you will have the fun that I have all the time. Everybody will avoid you. You'll start to follow people. Hey, I can still talk about other things. I still have a personality. I'm still human. Talk to me, please. You think I'm kidding? If you've ever been in ministry, you know. Now, the soil types that we're talking about here is likely soil 2, 3, and 4. Soil type number 2, hard times, difficulties. We see that the seed falls upon soil that has a basis to it. Now, remember, in the first century, when Jesus would have been talking about this, there weren't roads like we have roads today. There weren't concrete roads. And so what it was beaten earth. It was compacted earth. And so as a sower is looking for a place to sow, and remember, modern plowing techniques did not exist. I mean, a plow in the first century would have been a sharp rock or sharp stick being personally dragged or dragged by an oxen. And it would have been very rudimentary. I would have been able to probably do better job today with the tools that I have at my house than they would be able to do with a generations of people farming their land. I mean, it's just unbelievable how rudimentary some of these things are. So as they're taking their seed, they're walking upon trampled ground, and certainly seed is falling on those roads. And certainly that seed is not being taken care of. Have any of you ever tried to plant something just to see the birds of the air take it? Has anybody ever done that? Let me tell you something. There is nothing more enraging to me personally than watching my favorite peach tree bloom every year. I mean, it's beautiful. It's amazing. At one time, see, my children are shaking their head. At one time, there was 2,000 or 3,000 peaches on my tree. And then to watch the squirrels every day take them one by one. And let me tell you something. I have given every single one of my children airsoft guns, and it still doesn't merit the peaches that I should. There have been times that I've woken up in the morning and walked out to the back window in our previous house just to look at the tree, and I will see families and generations of fat little thieves, squirrels, just looking at me. Good morning, we've been busy. You're just getting up? Had you been up earlier, you would have saved your crop, farmer. The Bible says that it is the devil, like a ravenous bird that just takes the seed from the heart. Terrifying passage. Terrifying. Soil number two, the hardness, the difficulty of the world. Right? How many of us have not walked through difficulty? I mean, listen, if you've lived through the last 2 years, through COVID and all of the crazy difficulty of shutdowns, I mean, if you've had children in the middle of COVID where you've had to become a homeschool teacher, my goodness. I sure hope that history looks back on this time in this season and gives us a little bit of props, don't you? I just kind of hope that 100 years from now they go back and go, did you live through COVID-19? To which I say, I survived it. That's right. That's right. No, I mean, the Bible says that when hard times come, that there is a soil type that withers away because of the difficulty of times. There's a soil type, and remember, the soil types is our hearts. There's a soil type that when things get hard, when we lose our jobs, or when things get hard and there's relational difficulty, or when things get hard and our kids begin to rebel, or things get hard and our HOA will not leave us alone. Whatever your story or whatever your situation in life, whatever the lot is that you've been given, the Bible says that there is a soil type that just says, I'm not going to press into the kingdom of God, into God's word. I'm not going to press into the person and work of Jesus, into the Spirit, but I'm going to abandon God. And that is a terrifying soil type because that seed doesn't remain in the soil. They are not, in the end, believers. Now, before you start to unnecessarily get nervous, though I think there's a part of this passage that is really healthy for us to have some sober thinking. I have met so many people who have spent decades of their Christian life running from God just for God to quicken them and turn them back to his promises. In fact, my most cherished ministry situations and relationships have been to sit across from people and say, hey, listen, I was raised in the faith. I came to faith. I know the purposes of Christ. My family is a part of the faith. And man, I have spent as much time for the last 10 years trying to burn things to the ground. And there are some that we are observing in our lives. They might be our children. They might be our neighbors. They might be our spouses, where we look and say, oh, Lord, they're probably not Christians. And it could very well be that they are just in a season of discontent, a season of darkness. And we are to pray that God would he gives us a promise that he would see to the end that which he begins. He makes a promise to us that he will see to the end what he begins. And so we need to pray, Lord, would you hold fast and be sure that this person, would you draw them back to who you are? In fact, if you were to look in my yard, this same yard, I could show you all the different trees. If you come to my house in the winter, you would look at all of my trees and you would think, oh, they're all dead. But I know differently, except for the evergreens, but all of the deciduous trees, all the trees that drop their leaves, I'd be able to say, all these trees are alive. Why? Because I watched them go into winter. I've watched them emerge out of winter for years. I know the trees. I've been able to see them. I've been able to observe them. But you come to my yard in the winter, you would have no idea. You'd have to do so much work to determine if the tree's alive or not. And so, friends, it's so important that when we observe people in our lives, that we don't just assume they're not Christians. It could be that what God has begun in them, he will see to the end, and that we are to pray that a spiritual depression or a spiritual thwarting or a spiritual abdication be lifted from them. Praise God. The soil type I am most concerned about for Prosper, Texas is the next one. If there's a soil type that will just strangle the believer, Prosper, Texas has it in spades. And that soil type is the seed that lands in soil good enough for thorns and thistles to grow. And it does. It begins to grow. But because of the pleasures, because of the good life, because of the trinkets of the age, because of all of the opportunity. I mean, we are the most opportunity-ridden group of people in history. In fact, some of my favorite books to read are books that talk about the lives of kings in different kingdoms throughout the ages. And so I love reading history about just like where different people lived and how they lived. And if the way that a person lives right now in Prosper, Texas is better, more opulent, more significant, more comfortable than kings 70 years ago. Like, we can control the temperature of our food amazing right now. They couldn't. We can control the temperature of the air. They couldn't. Like, we can control environments to be able to travel. They couldn't. I can get to Europe this afternoon. If I had enough money, I could literally get on a plane and be in Europe here in just a couple of hours. They couldn't. I mean, we are living today in Prosper, Texas. You, today, are living better than kings lived 70 years ago. Truly. And you might say, well, listen, man, I don't know. I mean, my car, I mean, gosh, sometimes it takes twice to start it. I mean, sometimes I've got to kick the side of the refrigerator for it to keep the ice coming. No ice. No, I mean, the third soil type terrifies me for Prosper, Texas. Terrifies me for Prosper, Texas. Because we have everything. We have everything. We really do. Everything is literally at our disposal. And that, it's even worse than that. We have everything at our disposal at the exact time that we want it. Do you remember when you used to have to wait for television shows to come on? Remember that? Now, this might be aging me, though I'm 45. It's not like I'm super old, not near as old as some of you. Right? But I mean, I remember when we got a microwave. Like, I'll never forget when my dad was like, hey, we don't have to put the chicken pot pies in for 30 minutes anymore. I was like, what? He was like, no, they got this thing. And I was like, what is it? He goes, it's a microwave. And I was like, a microwave? What? He's like, yeah, remember how it took 35 to 42 minutes for a chicken pot pie? I was like, do I ever? He's like, not anymore. Man, we can have that sucker out in 8 minutes. And I was like, 8 minutes? I was like, Dad, does anybody else know that we have one of these? Have you told Mr. Hafling, that was our neighbor? Have you told him? He's like, J. Paul, he told me about it. I was like, he's got one too. 8 minutes. You laugh at that. We laugh at this. This. Think about what we have. We have everything. And yet none of it satisfies. I mean, my favorite people are super filthy, rich people that have learned that money doesn't satisfy. Oh man, they're great. They're the kind of folks that everybody thinks will be different, but when they achieve it or reach it, they look around and it's like, it's not that great. It's like, could you just tell everybody that? I sure wish Elon Musk and Bezos and all of these guys, I wish they would just come out and just say, okay, look, I know everybody's asking. It's seriously not that great. Right? I wish that they would just say it because it's true. It's genuinely true. And the parable of the sower says that there is a soil type. There is a position of a heart. There is a way in which we are responding to the gospel. There's a way in which we are responding to God's word where our seed, the word of God, will be choked out because of the riches and pleasures of this age. Terrifying. Terrifying. In fact, I find in the churches where I've served, you tell somebody that they have a cancer diagnosis, so many folks immediately turn in and press into the person and work of Christ. Like, you know how many I have never met a marriage that was just torn apart because of a cancer diagnosis. I could give you hundreds of marriages that have been torn apart by daily riches and pleasures of the age. Truly. Usually the hard hits, the difficult situations, the out of left field kind of things, usually it brings together families and people. People begin to rally around those things. It's like, man, this is tough. This is hard. We're going to press into the Lord and we're going to go forward. That's typically what happens here in the context that we find ourselves. But daily pleasures and daily pursuits of the good life, just the daily considerations and the desires and the thinking about it and the planning for the good life, the easy life, the retirement life, has choked out so many. Which is why I spend so much time on it today. Because there's a fourth soil that here in the Word says that when the seed, when the Word of God comes in and lands in the soil of this person's heart, that this person is rooted, and the outproduct, the outgrowth and the byproduct of this work is a hundredfold ministry. Now, this is important. Do you think the fourth soil type didn't have sun beating down on it? No. You don't think the fourth soil type didn't have moments of drought? No. Of course it did. Of course, the fourth soil. Of course, there were seasons of drought. Of course, there were seasons where rain didn't fall upon the ground. Of course, there were seasons where the wind blew crop over or people trampled through a field. Of course, that's true. But what remains, they hold fast to the word of God. So then what do we do? So what do we do? Well, the first is this. Every one of us have a bent towards a soil type. And don't tell me, well, I'm glad you said something, Pastor, because I've been towards the fourth soil type. I just love to have a harvest all the time. That's just who I am. Nope, that's not what I'm talking about. Every one of us in here have a bent towards a soil type where we just avoid. We have spiritual avoidance of the things of God, of the word of God. There are those of us that have avoidance and we try to push away, or we wilt under the heat of the difficulties of the age, some of the hard times of the age. And then there are those of us that are bent towards being choked out by the pleasures, by the ease of this age. In fact, I find it quite interesting that the way that the thorns and the thistles take this seed from growing is that it's crowded out and choked out. Choking is not fast, it's slow. To be crowded out this way through thorns and thistles doesn't happen overnight, which is why when I'm talking about this, I'm talking about daily pleasures, daily considerations, continuing to give oneself to the thinking of those things. So then what do we do? This is a parable written to them for us. What do we take away the parable? Well, I'll tell you this. Jesus is giving us a very clear picture of how dangerous it is to walk in hard times and to walk in unbelievably abundant times. Dangerous to what? Dangerous to a life that's about the kingdom of God. Dangerous. So what are you telling me? You telling me that money is bad? I'm not telling you that. The love of money, the pursuit of money at all costs, the desire, the thinking about, the pursuit in such a way that you give or a person gives their thoughts to those things is unbelievably dangerous. For one day, no. For a lifetime, yes. I'll never forget when I was talking to my children about brushing their teeth. I say, hey, you need to brush your teeth. We need to get a habit of brushing our teeth. Great, Dad, sounds good. What happens if we miss one day? I was like, I mean, you're probably okay, but let's not do that. Let's just like brush our teeth every day. It's like, okay. Yeah, but what if we miss a day? And it's like, yes, I know. The point of brushing your teeth is not that, you know, yes, you want to brush your teeth every day, but the point of brushing your teeth is that you daily do it, right? So it isn't that you are worried about the one day. What you're worried about is brushing your teeth only one day. We're not worried about missing a day, right? And so there's this idea where people say, well, how much is too much thinking about money? The point is, or how much is too much thinking about pleasure? Or how much is too much considering those things? To which I would respond, if the soil of your heart gives itself regularly and daily and actively, and the friends you keep regularly and daily and actively are pushing you to the pleasures of the age, be afraid. Be afraid. Maybe this is the opportunity for the Lord to rattle and shake, and maybe this parable is an opportunity that Jesus gives to his disciples then for us today, as disciples, for us to say, oh my goodness, what is my life about? What is my life about? Am I about the kingdom of God? Is my life about knowing Christ and making him known? Is that what my life's about? Or is what my life's about is checking a box so that I can keep doing what I want to do, which is what? Live the good life. And maybe just attending church is just a part of the good life. The best part about the parables, see, parables are different than other usages. So parables always have people in them. It's for people. And they usually have a single point in what they're doing. And I think the point here is, are you watching, assessing the soil of your heart? That should be a question we should ask. Good farmers, I'll never forget spending some time with some guys in Louisiana, farmed tens of thousands of acres. And he said, hey, I'm going out to touch some dirt. And I was like, can I come? He's like, well, I guess so. So I remember riding out there with him, and he just got out of his truck. And again, this is a fifth generation farmer that just had just an unbelievable love for the dirt that he cared for. And I watched him pick up the soil, and he just held it in his hand. I was like, what are you doing? He's like, feels dry. And I picked it up in my hand. I was like, yeah, it feels like dirt. He's like, nah, it's dry. It's too dry. We need to pray that the Lord brings some more water. I was like, why don't you just water it? And he's like, it's really hard to water 10,000 acres. And I was like, is it? He's like, well, that's just this field. And I was like, yeah, okay, yep, check, got that, all right. I'll never forget, he took some of the soil and he brought it back to his house. And I said, what are you doing? He's like, I just want to look at it under the light a little bit, just see what I got in it. And I said, how often are you looking at the soil of your field? And he said, depends. Depends on the season. He said, but it wouldn't be unusual for me every week to just grab some soil, think about it, roll it around in my hands, watch it, just see what's happening with it. And in my mind, I asked the question, do I consider the soil of my heart in any capacity to the degree that this farmer considers the soil in which he is in charge to grow? So I'm asking you, when was the last time you just stepped back, just got quiet, looked at yourself in the mirror, opened your Bible and said, what is the soil of my heart? If the first thing that enters your mind after that is, wouldn't a vacation to the Bahamas be awesome? Put it as a data point. If the first thing that runs into your mind is, man, I really want to not be sick. I really want my, right? whatever the data point is, I'm asking that you would look at the soil of your heart. So, for you to be able to do that, for us to be able to do that, for me to be able to do that, it requires something that none of us do. None of us spend time just thinking, contemplating, considering. We're so busy. I am quite certain that we're going to get to heaven. And I really mean this. I mean, it is funny, but I am absolutely serious about this. I am quite certain we're going to get to heaven. And we will learn then that a primary strategy of the enemy in the lives of believers is to bring so much noise that it's not even possible to find quiet to even ask the question about the prominence of the soil of our heart. Just noise. And just as soon as you turn off one bit of noise, another bit of noise finds its place. In fact, there's, in closing, Daniel, why don't you and Matt go ahead and come on up. In closing, there's this group of people that will spend time going throughout the United States looking for places that don't have noise. Are you familiar with this? There's this idea called noise pollution that's starting to create some interesting scientific literature. And what they do is they go throughout the United States looking for places where there is no noise. So that would be train noise, that would be car noise, airplane noise, that would be industrial noise, that would be every different form of noise. And so they are looking for places that are noise-free. And what they're finding is that every year there is less and less place for there to be no noise. That is to say, even in the woods, you cannot find a place that is without noise, whether it be a plane or whatever the thing might be. And so they're trying to capture the sounds of the wilderness because they don't believe that we will have them anymore. So they're taking audio samples of just what it, like the Amazon rainforest, for instance. I say all that to say this. We will not ask the question about the soil of our hearts unless we first ask and make the determination of when and how we're going to do that. What are we going to turn off? What are we going to walk away from? In what way are we going to give the space to ask the very simple question, what's the state of our hearts? What's the state of our hearts? And so I want to commend to you, do the work. Do the work. Find a time. Put it on your calendar. This week, on Wednesday at 1:00, and I'm going to turn everything off. I'm going to turn off notifications. I'm going to try to find a space for me to be able to just ask the question, Father, what is the state of the soil of my heart? I want to be the one that produces 100-fold. I want to be that person. I want to follow you in that way. My fear is that upon reflection, so many of us will be a different soil type. Let's pray together.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message. For more information, visit our website at lighthousentx.com.